Welcome to Onc Live On Air. I'm your host today, Ashling Wehner. In today's episode, supported by Camber Pharmaceuticals, we spoke with Kanwarpal S. Kallan, MD, about the significance of the commercial availability of the generic AB-rated formulations of eltrombopag, a bioequivalent medication for the treatment of select patients with severe aplastic anemia and immune thrombocytopenia. Dr. Kallan noted how the biosimilar is expected to reduce costs and improve the accessibility of this treatment, potentially enhancing patient adherence. He also explained how it is available in both oral suspension and tablet formulations and that it is well tolerated with a safety profile similar to that of the original drug. Speaking about the availability of the generic formulation of eltrombopag that is now available in ITP. Now that this generic AB-rated formulation is commercially available, what are some of the patient populations who will benefit from the availability of this bioequivalent?
Really, anybody who's eligible to use eltrombopag or for which there's an indication. So chronic ITP would certainly be one of them. Aplastic anemia would be another. And I think, of course, those are two of the major labels for eltrombopag or Promacta as it currently stands. But I would say really any other indication for the medication that this biosimilar will be useful and could be used in those patients.
What are some of the potential economic advantages of this bioequivalent being available through a co-payer program? And do you think that financial assistance like this could potentially help to improve adherence with this drug?
You know, I do. I think that at least with Promacta, for some patients, it was challenging to get them the medication. I would say more often it was patients with chronic ITP, maybe less so with aplastic anemia. I mean, fewer patients with aplastic anemia in general. So I think the availability of a biosimilar, which would hopefully reduce costs to insurers, to pharmacy benefits, to patients, and with copay assistance would make this more widely available. We've seen it with other kind of biosimilars for other targeted therapies, imatinib being one of the early ones for CML, and the fact that it is generic, I think has made access to it easier. So I expect that this would be the same.
Are there some patients who may benefit from this agent being available in both oral suspension and tablet formulations?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I mean, I think the suspension and or the tablet formulations could be useful in a variety of patient settings. In inpatients in the hospital, those who, you know, can't take anything by mouth, who maybe have a nasogastric tube or other feeding tube, being able to either give a suspension or to use the tablets and make a suspension is useful and helpful. Perhaps I'm an adult hematologist, but perhaps in pediatric patients, the availability of a suspension will prove to be useful. And then maybe, I guess, for anybody else for whom there may be swallowing difficulties. You know, it's challenging when drugs are in capsule form and it's difficult to either put them into suspension and administer it to patients who can't take, let's say, a pill or a capsule. So I think having these different forms or modes of administration, it gives you flexibility. And really, it kind of makes it possible to treat almost any patient.
Are there any other treatment adherence issues with eltrombopag that maybe you've experienced or heard of in the past that this generic formulation may alleviate?
That's a good question. I mean, I think obviously as when these generic or biosimilars are approved, they look at safety in some form, or at least post-marketing safety, and it's equivalent to the parent drug or the trademarked medication. So I have not had any issues. I mean, there are some people that do have some adverse effects, and that varies patient to patient. Some patients don't complain about anything. Some might have some joint pains, perhaps. I've not encountered LFT abnormalities or hepatobiliary problems in the patients that I've treated, either with ITP or aplastic anemia. But I would not expect the tolerability, which is good, of the biosimilar or the generic to be any different than the parent drug. So it's well tolerated. I expect the biosimilar would be the same.
With the continued use of eltrombopag in practice, just any advice for colleagues about the monitoring or mitigating adverse effects associated with this drug?
In ITP, we we tend to start low and kind of titrate the drug up. So I think that's obviously a good way to monitor for adverse effects, see how people are doing at lower doses, and if they're tolerating it well, you should feel comfortable increasing the dose versus if there are adverse effects, and kind of coaching patients through them and or finding maybe other strategies to address them. With aplastic anemia, the dosing is higher, so but you're also treating a condition that's slightly different. But I would say that in my experience, it's well tolerated. So whether using it for ITP, aplastic anemia, or perhaps other indication, it's well tolerated. So close patient monitoring, particularly for adverse effects, obviously people are going to get routine CBCs, probably chemistry panels, LFTs as well at the onset of treatment, but it is well tolerated. So I really don't have any reservations about the biosimilar or the generic.
Looking overall, what is the significance of the availability of this generic formulation of eltrombopag?
Well, I think it opens up, I think, some treatment options, which maybe were challenging for patients. I mean, whether it was an insurance issue or a copay challenge, and I've heard kind of numbers all over the spectrum, I think the fact that this is available will hopefully be priced competitively and will make it more widely available to patients. So, again, maybe it's a treatment option that people will feel more comfortable and confident reaching for because they know they'll be able to get it for their patients. So, you know, with other even targeted therapies or relatively novel therapies that have become generic or for which there's a biosimilar, we've been able to use them and access them more easily. I expect the same here. I think it'll be very good for patients, especially with these chronic conditions where we can feel confident we can get them this treatment. I think it's a wonderful and burgeoning field. So hopefully we'll see more and more of these biosimilars over time. And, you know, that'll just increase the treatment options that we have for patients.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of Enclave On Air, supported by Camber Pharmaceuticals. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.enclave.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. Enclave is also on social media. On X and Blue Sky, follow us at Enclave. On Facebook, like us at Enclave, and follow our Enclave page on LinkedIn. If you liked today's episode of Enclave On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you're there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to Enclave On Air.